Yes, you heard well. With the ringing of that bell, that it is time again for Bible class. This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I hope the ringing of that old bell brings to mind the ringing of a school bell back in the old days, where the children would then rush for their school books and run into the schoolhouse and take their seats and be prepared to receive their lessons, or they would say in those days, recite their lessons to their teacher. There may be some of you that remember little old schoolhouses like that, or at least I've known some that have gone to schoolhouses like that and can recall those days. But this is a Bible school on the radio. And if you'll get your Bible now and turn to Matthew chapter 4, we're going to begin a Bible study of the temptation of Christ, the temptation of Jesus. This is the temptation that occurred after his baptism when he was led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This account is found in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. It's fairly extensively told in Matthew and Luke. There's a little information about it in the book of Mark. In fact, Mark tells us something that we do not learn from either Matthew or Luke about this temptation that really sets the scene. And that's interesting. Mark's always giving a lot of detail. And while he didn't give a lot of detail about this temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, he did give us a detail that neither Matthew nor Luke included. And we'll be looking at that in just a moment in Matthew chapter 4. While you're turning there, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And to guide us in these Bible school lessons, we're looking at old Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam. And this Sunday school lesson was written for the Sundays of July the 27th, 1924. And this is lesson 653 of the Warren County Radio Bible School. So now get up your Bibles, get them out, and class, be prepared. We're about to enter into our study. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 reads, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." We read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 that Jesus had returned from the Jordan. Now that is following his baptism. And he was driven immediately by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil and was with the wild beast. It is Mark that emphasizes the fact that this was done immediately and also that he was with the wild beast. We don't read about those wild beasts in Matthew or in Luke, but it certainly sets the scene for this temptation. You see, in the beginning of the race, Adam was tempted and fell. And then the beginning of the great work of Jesus in redeeming the race, Christ was tempted and gained a triumphant victory. Christ was doubtless tempted before. During the 30 years he spent at Nazareth, he must have suffered different temptations. But now that he enters upon his public work, Satan renews these attacks with an increased energy and force. He does all he can to thwart the purpose of God and to defeat Jesus in his mission of salvation. Besides, this temptation was a preparation for Jesus in the flesh for his great work as the Messiah. He must grapple with every difficulty and conquer every foe. He is not the Savior of men and cannot establish his spiritual kingdom if he yields in a single point, nor does he really overcome Satan in his subtlest and mightiest attacks. But having overcome, he is ready to succor all who are tempted. The loyalty of every soul must be tried, and as one proves faithful, God commits to him greater trust. We cannot understand this all too well, and we cannot understand too well that we must be, in all things and at all times, true to God, and not some scheme and theory of our own. Luke says that during 40 days, being tempted of the devil, during 40 days being tempted, during all this time, he was enduring temptation. The temptations are not specified as below, but being in the flesh, with all the lust and appetites of the flesh, he was tempted in all points, as we are, yet without sin. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Luke chapter 4 and verse 2 says he did eat nothing. Moses fasted the same number of days twice. We read about that in Exodus 24:18 and in Exodus 34:28. Elijah fasted that way once in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. If Jesus had been miraculously or supernaturally sustained during this time, the effects of the fast would have been destroyed. But it says that he afterwards hungered. And it's the fact that Jesus was hungry talks to us about his humanity. He was indeed clothed in the flesh as we are. You know, I've heard people seen and do some things that they should not have done and excused it, say, "Well, I was hungry." Well, Jesus is hungry, and yet he still allowed his spirit to overcome his flesh and to walk after the spirit instead of after the flesh. And by doing so, he shows us we can do that too. And yet by enduring this great trial, he also shows us that he understands when we have trials and how easy it is to be overcome of the devil. Any great grief, imminent danger, deep anxiety, mental excitement, or intense interest destroys for the time being, the natural desire for food. You remember when Paul was on that ship out in the Mediterranean and they were enduring that storm? And we read about that in Acts chapter 27. It said they did not eat food for many days and many nights. Fasting and prayer lift one above animal appetites and a closer union and communion with God, and are means of gaining spiritual strength and power. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and found that the disciples he had left behind were unable to cast out a certain evil spirit or demon, we read in Mark chapter 9 and verse 30 that Jesus said unto them, "This kind can come out by nothing save by prayer and fasting." The Apostle Paul mentions fasting as one of the ways that he had commended himself to the Corinthians and to all those who knew about him and to whom he was teaching, those in the church, as a minister of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4, He says, in everything, commending ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in pureness, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in love unfeigned, in the word of the truth, in the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. You see, the Apostle Paul suffered greatly for his work as a gospel preacher, and he suffered as a man would suffer, because he was a man. But as a man would suffer, he had also learned the great value of spiritual things and was able to bring spiritual things to bear in his mind to endure mentally and emotionally, and that contributed to his being able to endure physically these things. And among all those things he suffered, he mentions fasting. Now that could have been his voluntary fasting so that he might engage in prayer, but it simply could have meant also that there were times when he just had to go without food. And he knew that when he suffered in this manner, that if he could suffer as a Christian, it would bring glory to God on his behalf. And so he did that. And so fasting is mentioned as one of those things, one of those spiritual, he made that an example of a spiritual thing that he could do that would demonstrate the power of spiritual things. Paul mentions fastings again as part of what he endured in the same epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 16, where he said, I say again, let no man think me foolish, but if ye do, yet as foolish receive me, that I also may glory a little. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it is in foolishness and this confidence of glorying. Seeing that ye may glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For if ye bear with the foolish gladly, being wise yourselves, for ye bear with the man, if he bringeth you into bondage, if he devour you, if he taketh you captive, if he exalt himself, if he smiteth you on the face, I speak by way of disparagement, as though we had been weak. Yet whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishness. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as one beside himself. I more. In labors, more abundant. In prisons, more abundantly. In stripes, above measure. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of rivers, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils from the cities, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labor and travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, now notice, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, that which presses upon me daily, anxiety for the churches. Paul is saying he had suffered these things, and he had borne under them well, being spiritually enlightened, and he knew how to bring this to the glory of God, And that included those times he had to go without food in fastings. And so did Jesus.